This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's going on, Rob Cicero? Back for another week of Joe Millionaire. We are 1 week away from finding out what is going to happen on this show. Finally, after 9 weeks of investment, here we are, down to the final four women, final two Joes. I'm here to talk about it here with a woman who has chronicled this entire adventure. Here she is, Jenny Hundredaire. Jenny Autumn. Jenny, how are you?
Rob, I'm excellent. We've almost made it, the penultimate episode of Joe Millionaire for Richer or Poorer. Yeah. And, you know, what a journey this has been, or a journey. Journey.
Yes.
We can workshop that.
Yes.
But I've had a lot of fun with it. There have been rich moments. There have been poor moments. And, you know, I'm interested to see how this all ends. I felt like we really got down to the nitty gritty with this episode. We trimmed some of the fat, and I thought there were a few little gems in this episode.
Obviously
we get to this point where a lot of it is going to be like, oh, this is really serious now. I'm falling in love, mm-hmm. and that kind of stuff. So it's like maybe a little bit less fun. But I do think that there were some interesting, fun little nuggets during this episode.
All right. Well, looking forward to talking about them all here with you as we get ready. Only one episode left. One week from now, Jenny, we will know who is richer, who is poorer, who got picked. Who got left at, maybe who got kicked?
I mean, you know, if Amanda is chosen by Kurt, like, he could become richer.
Yeah. Could be for richer. And then they'll like high five Kurt and Zeman, like, now we're both rich.
Really, Amanda will become poorer because now she'll be taking on him.
Kurt's ass. Yeah.
Exactly.
After this.
Yeah.
Right after this. Okay. So, yeah, Jenny, I feel like the show got serious. I feel here, this will give you an analogy for the show. I'm like turning on my Joe Millionaire every week, and I'm like Steven, and I'm like, hey, okay, let's have some fun. And then Joe Millionaire all of a sudden is turned into Amber, is like, we're a serious show. We're going to be all serious talk. And I'm like, hey, I thought this was going to be the hour where I get to have some fun. And it's like, no, serious talk. I'm like, hey, I can't do this anymore. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I was looking for a fun show.
And then the show says, oh, all right, let's stop recording.
Turn it off.
Which apparently happened in Canada, because the Canadian channel that I've been watching this show on the entire season, as of last week, just said, bye.
We're out. Like, they ghosted Joe Millionaire.
They dumped them. Like,
why?
I don't know.
Have you watched the show?
I had to find a feed of Fox.
Oh, my God.
Because the
you're like a hacker now.
Yeah, I am. This is the lengths I go to for mm-hmm. the million game. I tweeted this tonight. I said, I am missing the first eviction of BB Can 10.
Your so season, your country's big brother.
My yes. country's big brother yeah. to watch Joe Millionaire, because I am dedicated to the Millie Gang. Mm-hmm. I ride hard for the Millie Gang. And I am seeking out streams of Fox TV. So that I can watch this
yeah.
because the Canadian channel I've been
you're
watching
dedicated.
It on. Yeah. I'm a real one, I think.
Yeah, I think so. I think, is it fair to say that you're Joe Millionaire's most faithful viewer?
That isn't on the show.
Yes, that isn't on the show.
Possibly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know. I think Heidi Montag is definitely, she's tweeting every episode.
Yeah, but I think that she must be being paid.
Yeah, there's definitely something going on because I've seen like Tamar Braxton and like Heidi Montag, and there's like a couple other like verified checkmark people on Twitter that I see like retweeted by the Joe Millionaire Twitter account. So it very like came off to me like, remember that like Discovery show like a couple years ago that like Derek Lavasser and a bunch of Big Brother people were like tweeting about, and it was like, this is, everyone was paid to do this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It seems a little bit like that to me.
Yeah, I definitely think that that's the case. I saw an article that, you know, friend of the podcast, Heidi Montag was eating raw liver. I don't know why that was in that was on like NewYorkPost.com. I don't know what was going on there. But Jenny, I was thinking to myself just now that, boy, Jenny is the most dedicated fan of Joe Millionaire. Like, I should see if I can get Jenny a cameo from Joe Millionaire. But I think there's only one person that is on Cameo Joe Millionaire.
Wow.
And so apparently it's some woman named Katie. Katie was on the show?
I have no idea what that is.
She wants $30 for a cameo. Let me see. I don't know if anybody's ever bought one from her. Should I buy one from her?
No.
For you?
Rob, please.
Let me see. This is what she says. Here, hold on. Let me see if I can turn the volume on.
Maybe the voice will remind me.
Reality dating show Joe Millionaire, or maybe you see me in a magazine. I've been in GQ, Sports Illustrated, Men's Health, FHM, Maxim, blah de blah, all that. If you need anything at all, don't be afraid to book me. I can do
anything at
birthday.
All.
I can do a special shout out, happy anniversary. I can tell your enemy that they suck.
Oh.
I can comment under your ex's photo and say, yikes. Anything at all you need, go ahead and book me. I'm also super excited to chat to anyone that wants to chat.
Okay.
Take care,
I would love to.
Do you have any enemies, Jenny, that you want to, or maybe do you think that we could like a Tinder swindler her and tell her that you have a bunch of enemies and she needs to send you money?
Yes. Yeah. I'm into that. I'm not a big like enemies person. Mm-hmm. So I don't really have a lot of enemies, but I could make up fake enemies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm trying to, did we ever talk about somebody named Katie on Joe Millionaire?
I have no idea who this is. Is this someone from like the original Joe Millionaire?
No, I think she's from this one.
She looks young.
She's from Joe Millie Fox.
Okay. Mm-hmm. How does she spell her name?
Katy.
Okay, I'm doing a Twitter search, and I did IE. Okay,
mm-hmm.
Katie.
Yeah.
I don't remember her. So,
I think she was on the show.
Oh wait, Katie was the person, one of the women who said something about wanting to get married.
Yeah.
In 4 years.
4 years. Not she want to get
and
married fast.
And Steven didn't like that.
Yeah, he doesn't like that. He wants to get married now. He's got brothers that are waiting. He's got to break the seal. Come on, Katie, let's go.
Let's go. Come on, Katie.
Get off Cameo. It's time to get married.
Get that stamina going.
Get that stamina going. Katie was also on the cover of Maxim magazine. I didn't know that they were still making Maxim magazine.
I didn't know that either. Is it an old
Is she on the cover of Old Maxim magazine?
Old Maxim.
Old Maxim magazine. Let's see. Okay.
I'm looking at a gif of her eating a chicken wing right now.
Oh, yeah. She had the chicken wings? Yeah. Yes. So there you go. Thank you for showing that to me.
No problem. I just want to make sure you saw that.
Yeah. Okay. So if you want, that's on the table for you, Jenny, if you want that cameo.
I mean, I didn't know who this woman was.
You're not going to say no, right?
I'm not going to say no, but I also want you to make smart decisions with your money, Rob. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but what if we
$30.
Yeah. What if we got it back in the middle of the show?
What if we got it back
before the end of the podcast?
Oh, like if you think she's got a tight turnaround?
Mm-hmm.
Has anyone booked her?
I don't think so.
Where is Martin the Butler? That is the cameo I want.
Okay. All right. We'll see. If he's listening, please. Okay. All right.
Yeah. That's what we need on cameo. I'm very surprised that that's the only person.
Yeah, you would think so. You would think with this crew that they would be all over a cameo.
Yeah.
But I guess not. All right. So we had a cliffhanger last time, Jenny. The women, they were going to pick what guy they liked.
Yeah.
Or not.
Or not. I love that, like, this is the first time that, like, they're acting like the women have any ownership of their own decisions. Like, these women could leave at any point if they wanted. And they have the right to go up and speak to either of these people in, like, situations. So I don't know. It's like, I don't feel like this is the very first time that like they have any choice in things. Like,
we are going to try things a little bit differently around here. We're going to let the women actually decide who they want to date. Oh my God. What a game changer.
Great stride for feminism.
Yes.
Here on Joe Millionaire Tonight. these poor women that have been competing against each other for two men on the basis of one of them is rich and one of them is not.
One of them has not. Yeah.
Is not. But,
yeah.
But now finally the tables have turned and they have a choice.
Yes.
This is heroic feminism in action right here.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So the women decide. Interestingly, two of the women say that they want to go with Steven. Two of the women want to go with Kurt. And two of the women pick both.
Rob, you say interestingly, but I mean, was this not completely obvious based on how everything has gone?
Yeah.
Like, it's been pretty obvious that, you know, Steven's top two, you know, people that are not interested in the other person, or the other person, his name is Kurt, were Annie and Amber. Like, we never saw anything happening with Annie and Amber and Kurt. So those are obvious.
Yeah.
And then on the flip side, we knew that the top two for Kurt are Carolyn and Amanda. Obviously, nothing going on with Steven. And we've seen both Steven and Kurt talk about how they're both into Whitney and Calla. So I just felt like it was very obvious that they would choose to have both dates. Like, why wouldn't they?
Yeah. Makes sense. Also, additionally, though, Jenny, all of the dates will now be in private. Each woman will have her own hotel room.
Yeah.
So you won't know what was going on.
That was kind of interesting, though, where like either like, okay, you're not returning to the manor and you know, everything that's happening between you and the gentleman is now not something that you can share with the other women.
Yep.
But the guy still, okay, this is the issue I have.
They shouldn't get to share a house.
Why? Yeah, because this like ended up being like a pretty significant like part of this episode. The fact that they are still staying together at the gentleman's quarters and they get to like share with each other how the dates went. So how is this putting it back into the women's hands and giving them the control when they can't even information share with each other, but the men can come back and they could talk shop about the dates. Like, what's going on here?
Right. Yeah. It's a little bit like,
they not afford like 8 hotels. Like, I don't understand.
Well, I think that the Joes are kind of like the mafia, if they're playing the mafia game, where all the women like in the town, they go to sleep at night, but the guys are able to say, all right, here's what we're doing. Divide and conquer.
Oh my goodness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Who are we rooting for?
They're venting. Yeah. They're sus. But,
super sus.
All right. So everybody's going to have individual hotel rooms. And also, on Joe Millionaire, You could go home at any time.
Yeah. So Martin basically, you know, reveals that there's
a free for all.
Yeah.
It is a free for all, you know. Your time could be up at any point. In the Bachelor franchise, it's like the big thing where it's like the suitcase gets rolled away when like someone got eliminated during a date. But it's like with this, it's like it can happen at any time. Won't even know. You won't see the suitcase getting rolled away.
You'll see nothing.
You'll see nothing, especially if it happens in the dark, which a lot of it did.
Yep. You could just get dumped at any point.
Yeah, in like the middle of a bush. Like there's just like a table set up in like the forest. You're like, I guess I'll just wander into this bush now.
Yeah.
Find my way home.
Yeah. Whatever. We don't need you anymore. You're good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So we go on dates, private dates.
Nothing more private than all of these dates with camera crews and other people being there at certain points like that. Yeah, this was the epitome of very private.
Yeah. Have we sort of like given up the bit of like that? Like, okay, we have like lavish dates and we have like poor person dates.
Well, Martin explained that the dates. So while the choosing is in the women's hands, the dates are still being planned and chosen by the men. So they still have the control over what actually happens on said dates. So I guess I do feel like a lot of Steven's dates were kind of along the lines of like, this is my country life. Yeah. And like, you know, but I didn't feel, I didn't really get a vibe for like what the point of Kurt's dates were. They were just dates, you know what I mean?
I
felt like Steven was like really leaning into like, it's a barn, it's a corn maze, it's like there's hay.
Yes,
like,
yes,
you know
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah, Jenny, yes.
Or turn it into 50 Shades of Hay.
I hate that.
You don't like 50 Shades of Hay?
Again, I said this last week. It sounds like a trip to the clinic. What's in the hay? Not getting naked in the hay. That sounds terrible. Itchy.
What's
crawling around in there? Like, no.
Sure.
I don't even want one shade of hay, let alone 50. Like, no. Absolutely not.
But, you know, like, isn't there, you know, pain and pleasure in the hay?
What, you getting get... like a stick, like a stick into like your butt? Like you're sitting on a needle in the haystack right into your butt cheek?
Yeah, they say that's the easiest way to find a needle in the haystack.
Just to sit on it.
Yeah. Okay, well, that's what Stephen likes.
Oh my gosh. I honestly, I tried to forget about the 50 Shades of Hay. It's terrible.
This is turning into 50 Shades of Hay.
Okay. Oh my God. All right. So he goes on this date with, starting with Annie. Stephen goes with Annie and a beautiful date. Jenny, what every woman dreams. Spaghetti and meatballs in a horse barn. I mean,
yeah,
the ultimate date. Every woman
dreams
of. Yeah,
this guy's got to be the millionaire. he's treated me to spaghetti and meatballs near horses.
You know, in a
they're nearby
in the horse pen.
Yeah, like it probably smells so bad in there.
Yeah,
like. This was the definition of putting lipstick on a pig because they just put a lot of like candles in there.
Yeah. I think also, there literally was a pig next to them.
There might have been a pig. Yeah. We did hear a horse neigh. I did not hear any like pig grunts, but perhaps that didn't get picked up by the mics.
Yeah.
But I like, first of all the candles, all the lights in like the, mm-hmm. the hay barn.
Right.
Is that a fire hazard?
You would think so. You would think so. Yeah. Like, I feel like that the last thing you would want in a barn full of hay would be a bunch of candles.
Lit. Yeah. They were really trying to turn this into a barn burner mm-hmm. of a day.
Yes.
but yeah, here's the thing. I have been to have you ever seen a barn as a wedding venue?
Yes.
Can be very classy, but it's not a barn that has animals. The
animals. Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just it was once a barn, but it's turned into a classy mm-hmm. event space. I don't feel like this was the case with this barn. I think they just took the horses out and put them outside of the barn and then just set up a table and a bunch of candles.
Right. So how much allergy medicine do you think Annie needed to take before this date?
I'm surprised she was awake. She probably was just completely, doped up mm-hmm. on Claritin or whatever she needed to take to get through this date.
Mm-hmm.
But this was Stephen, trying to show her that the country life can be really romantic.
Can be really romantic. Well, yeah. Jenny, Stephen's going to show her exactly how romantic this can be, because I think that, tell the truth. You must have been swooning when you heard Stephen suggest the ultimate romantic move.
This is no doubt turning into a fairy tale love story. You remember Lady and the Tramp? Spaghetti date?
Yeah.
What do you think? You want to try and pull it off?
No! No! What's wrong with you?
I cringed so hard. I watched this man with his freaking hands pick up. Like it wasn't... Also, in Lady and the Tramp, did it not happen the spaghetti on the fork goes into the mouth, they're sharing a spoon or something. The dogs don't
So I don't believe the dogs were using utensils in The Lady and the
Did
Tramp.
Did they just go face first into the spaghetti and then they...
From what I recall, I believe that one of the dogs is pushing a meatball to the other dog with its nose. Okay. And then I think they're both...
Why didn't they do that?
They didn't try that. I have to look. I don't want to get dragged on this because there's a lot of Disney adults that.
Yeah, and I'm not one of them. I'm sorry. I just I have obviously seen Lady and the Tramp.
Mm-hmm.
But
I'm pretty sure the dogs didn't have forks.
Because they don't have opposable thumbs, right? So what are they doing with cutlery mm-hmm. anyway? So that makes sense. So are they diving face first into the plate of spaghetti and then they happen to come upon the same spaghetti noodle and that's how it happens? Because they both start slurping up the noodle?
Yes. So, of course, dogs don't have a fork. And so they're digging.
Don't give a dog a fork.
They're digging into the spaghetti and they both, that the spaghetti must be 30 feet long.
It's a long spaghetti.
It's a long spaghetti. And how dogs very delicately will eat one spaghetti strand at a time when your dogs are eating pasta.
Yeah.
And I've seen this. That they end up that they both are sucking on the same spaghetti strand. And that's what happens.
Yeah.
Even the dogs don't pick it up with their paws.
Yeah. although I'm trying to imagine Stephen and Annie just diving face first into this plate of spaghetti and meatballs.
Mm-hmm.
That would also be incredible. But the moment that Stephen with his hands picks up a noodle, a limp noodle, and then puts it between their face, I'm like, this is, I said out loud, ew. And Phil was in the other room with noise canceling headphones and came out and said, what's going on?
Right. This is a check. Disgusting. Can I have a check, please?
Yeah. I'm going to get on the horse outside and ride off into the sunset. I'm getting out of here. This is gross.
Yeah.
No, I don't want to do that.
No.
This is no doubt turning into a fairy tale love story. You remember Lady and the Tramp? Spaghetti date?
Yeah.
What do you think? Do you want to try and pull it off?
She did not sound super enthused when he's like, remember Lady and the Tramp? Yeah.
Here's the thing about Annie. So she says a lot of things that make me feel like she really, really likes Steven, but like, I don't get it from her energy. Like, she doesn't seem that enthusiastic during any of this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know.
Why spaghetti in a barn? Why on earth?
Well, what do you think is the right barn food?
What do you I feel like that, maybe it's because they've already had like different things, but I kind of feel like I don't know. What would you eat in a barn?
I don't know. Like, do you have to eat something that's like respectful to like the animals that are there? Like, okay.
Is spaghetti, no pork product. I mean, the meatballs, I mean, are
the cows are nearby. I don't know. Yeah. It was, I don't know. I guess that's supposed to be a romantic food.
No, spaghetti is a terrible date food.
Especially if that's the noodle. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like that's like the most problematic noodle to eat, mm-hmm. like in a way that looks cool. You know what mm-hmm. I mean?
Yeah.
Like at least if you have like a bow tie or like a penne or like something that you can easily like poke with a fork and you're not having, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that's like at least a little bit more romantic where you can have like nice tiny little bites.
Mm-hmm.
But then you wouldn't be able to have the Lady and the Tramp moment where you pick up the noodle with your hand.
Do you think Steven said to producers, like when they're like, all right, Steven, for your date with Annie, what do you want us to prepare? It's like, I got it. Spaghetti and meatballs. I'm going to Lady and Tramp her. Watch this.
It's a real fairy tale love story.
Watch. This is my classic move. You'll see.
I'm just picturing like Steven's mom hand feeding him spaghetti and meatballs mm-hmm. now.
Yeah. I mean,
mama's spaghetti and meatballs transported here.
His mom might need to like reverse Lady and the Tramp him to get him to eat.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah, it was. So do you think they could have control over what they're eating at these things. I don't know how much control they have over these dates, but.
Mm-hmm.
They have some.
Who knows? Who knows?
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
Apes hunt humans.
That is wrong.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
Hey, it's Rob. It was an amazing week of Survivor, and we had incredible podcasts with Christian Hubicki and Steven on the Know-It-Alls. Make sure you catch those as well. Plus, The Circle was back this week with an AI contestant. Taryn, Mike Bloom, and Puya broke down the first week of drops from The Circle and on Renap. Who did Sam Moore find for the big guest? Find out on this week's Rob and Akiva Need a Podcast, all right here on RHAP. We know reality TV.
All right, let's talk about Kurt on his first date with Amanda. And for some reason, Steven is conducting a train.
So, okay, the thing with the other dates is like, again, like I was saying, Steven kind of went for things that were like country themed because it's getting very important that people can adapt to his lifestyle. There was no theme that mm-hmm. made sense for any of Kurt's date. I did not understand the train. Why was he at the front of the train? Was he literally driving the train?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't understand.
No idea.
It was weird.
No idea why. I mean, his job has nothing to do with trains.
Nothing. I don't think so. He didn't mention it.
Didn't mention it. So here he is. He's on the train. Now, they rode the train.
Yeah, then they got on the train. So he like drove the train to wherever she was, mm-hmm. picked her up, had flowers for her.
Yeah.
And then brought her aboard the train.
Yeah.
And then someone else drove the train because they were sitting on it as it rode away.
Yeah.
I just like, who thinks of this? Who thinks like, what a romantic time sitting on a train?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is that romantic? Maybe I don't know. I don't get it.
I look, don't ask me. I don't know. I don't know what's giving you the impression. Yeah. That I know anything about what's romantic, but maybe I took, you know me, Jenny, I take copious notes during the Joe Millionaire episodes. Cause I want to learn from the masters.
Oh yes.
And so Kurt put together something, a very thoughtful gift for Amanda. He animated like a cartoon in a notebook that was like a flip book of their relationship.
Yeah. It actually was kind of cute.
Yeah.
Like the animation wasn't really well done. It was stick people.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I don't think it was pro level flip animation.
No.
But it was at least a unique idea that had a personal touch.
Mm-hmm.
And like probably like the only personal thing that happened on any of these dates. Like it was really cute.
Yeah. And so
I don't think it would have taken long.
Yeah. What did happen in the cartoon?
That part was unclear to me.
Yeah. That they did say avocado at the end.
Yes.
Okay.
Because we just saw them flip it and it just looked like stick people moving.
Yeah.
I
wish that Amanda's mom would have been more heavily portrayed in the cartoon.
Yes. There needed to be a point where Debbie shows up and she asks about their stamina.
You got stamina.
She proclaims how much money they have. Like they could have had I'm picturing the stick drawing of it where like Debbie's there and then like, you know, there's like a sack of money with like the dollar sign. Like you could do a simple drawing here.
Let me ask, missed would opportunity. You ever take my daughter for a roll in the hay?
How do you feel about 50 Shades of Hay?
You ever read 50 Shades of Hay? Okay. So, this guy was a little, I was cringing a little bit during this part. Amanda is asking Kurt, what are you ready for in a relationship? Like, what are you looking for? And Kurt answers her, wifey.
Oh, Rob, I was cringing right there with you. This was another one of the moments.
Yeah.
That I was making noises out loud watching mm-hmm. this show by myself. Like this is you know, someone like this is like when you get asked like describe yourself in three words and someone just gives one word mm-hmm. and it's like not even a good word. Like you can't even make a sentence. You can't even describe like mm-hmm. the way you want your relationship to work. You can just say wifey, which I hate that word so much.
And Amanda, she goes right back when he says, well, what do you want? She said, what's the opposite of wifey? And he said, hubby.
And this is when I crawled straight out of my skin and lit it on fire and ran away.
Like barn full of hay.
Yeah. I was candles in the barn, knocked over, lit,
mm-hmm.
completely destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
Wifey is a terrible word, but hubby
was worse.
Throw you in jail if you're using that word.
Mm-hmm.
That is the second H word that I do not accept the earnest use of. It's absolutely terrible.
Mm-hmm.
I hate it.
Mm-hmm. Wifey and hubby. We're not going to use it.
You're adults. Like, if you are old enough and mature enough to get married,
mm-hmm.
do not call your husband hubby. I'm mm-hmm. sorry. This is, I will die on this hill.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry for the people I've offended. I hate this with my whole body. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Do you want to hear from the hubby people on social media?
Listen, call your husband, hubby, in your free time.
Mm-hmm.
Please don't bring it around. I don't want to hear it. It makes me feel uncomfortable.
I get it.
It just feels very juvenile.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very honestly, and I shouldn't be throwing this word around, but it's very choogy.
Oh, very choogy to say wifey and honey.
I think wifey and hubby are like peak chooginess.
Okay. I didn't know that.
I think it is. I don't think that the Gen Z people are going to be calling their significant others hubby or wifey. I think it dies with the millennials. I hope so.
Yeah.
It's choogy's hell.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I would love to know what Gen Z will call their spouses.
I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know the answer to that. I'm not that tapped in. I do spend a lot of time on TikTok, but I haven't gotten to that part of TikTok. Okay.
If people know, please tell us.
Yeah. What's like, I think the reasonable thing is to just use the word partner, husband, wife, whatever. That is completely fine. I don't love the cutesy, E names for like, just use the real word. If you want to do that in private, like, it's like people being like my baby and my sweetie, like in public about their, like, please stop.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah. Jenny, they're talking about money and Amanda says to Kurt, look, my money could be gone tomorrow. Or I think Kurt said that about Amanda.
Amanda said her money could be gone tomorrow.
Okay, good. So is there something special about her money? Like, Grandpa leave her the money, like, in crypto or something, like, very volatile? Like, look, well, I'm worth $13 million today, but...
I love the idea of a grandpa leaving an inheritance in crypto. Like, I really want to know more about this grandpa, like what he does.
Maybe he like invented the Dogecoin.
Yeah, Grandpa Doge.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what that meant. Was the inheritance left in like literal cash, and is it in a barn full of candles?
It could get burnt or stolen. Yeah.
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 So I don't know.
I don't know what that meant, but maybe like they invested it. And so I don't know. I really don't know what that meant, but I appreciated the sentiment behind it being like, I don't want to just be living my life being like, I've got this money and like, it doesn't matter. I can make reckless decisions with my life because I've got this money.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But I don't understand why it could be gone tomorrow.
That we don't know. Okay. Annie and Steven, that they are going to continue their date, right? And they're going to go in the hot air balloon.
Yeah. So he blindfolds her.
Yeah.
Is this the blindfold or no, wait, there was a blindfold at some point. Oh yeah. Yeah. So Steven blindfolds Annie. I couldn't remember. There was like too many. Steven was very big on the surprises on his dates.
Right.
He's a big like surprise guy.
Mm-hmm.
And so he blindfolds Annie and then just takes her down to a hot air balloon, which I think is pretty cool. Like, I don't know. I've never been in a hot air balloon.
Yeah. He's like,
near fire.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, keep that hot air balloon out of the barn.
Yeah. But like putting her in like vaguely like dangerous situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So they go in the hot air balloon and then make out city. And they're so similar.
This is something I also took note of that I'm like, she was like, oh, he's everything I didn't know I wanted in a guy. Like, you know, he's caring and like he's hot and all of these things. But like, I didn't realize that I wanted somebody so similar.
Okay.
And I'm like, since when are you and Steven similar? All of the rhetoric about this relationship has been like, Annie's a city girl. Like, I gotta like make sure that she's ready for like life in the country. Like, everything I've heard about these two people is that they're actually different. How are they similar?
Jenny, I don't know. Don't ask
me.
Yeah. You know the first rule of Joe Millionaire.
Don't ask.
Yeah.
Don't ask. I shouldn't be asking. I should not.
I have no idea.
If the Millie gang has any insight on to like why Annie and Steven are so similar,
mm-hmm.
please enlighten me. They're close in age.
I guess
they're like
so.
2 years apart. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. So, Kurt and Amanda, they're going to go like by a bridge and they're kissing. And then like, Kurt picks up Amanda, like very close to, the
throwing her over the bridge.
Yeah. Like, what's this game?
Well, so
this is a trust exercise that we're doing here. put me on your shoulders, then bring me over to the edge of the bridge where I could fall.
I did notice that he turned around so that he was the one against the bridge so that it wasn't like mm-hmm. she could just be dropped over the bridge.
Right,
but
right.
Yeah, it didn't seem like a dangerous situation. Again, they're really living on the edge on this episode of Joe Millionaire.
Yeah, literally here at this
extreme
point.
Dates.
Extreme dates. Look, you gotta have excitement. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's in 50 Shades of Hay. Okay.
Yeah.
You gotta keep these dates death defying. All right. So then, all right, we go back to the manor or the gentleman's manor. And so, all right, today we're gonna see Kurt is gonna go out with Carolyn. And Steven is going to have double duty with mm-hmm. Whitney in the morning and Calla at nighttime. Now, is this because that they are basically, they get half dates? They don't get full dates?
I guess maybe that was part of the deal where it's like, if you're choosing to go on a date with both men, you are not necessarily getting double time. Mm-hmm. That's greedy. You are choosing to have a shorter date with both men.
Okay. All right.
That's the only thing that makes sense, right? Because otherwise,
Jenny, this doesn't make sense.
Well, here's the thing. It's like, hey, a date is fun. Like, doing any of these things besides sitting in a hotel would be more fun, even if it's with the person that you're not interested mm-hmm. in. So it's like, why wouldn't I go on both dates? Like, if I get the full time, it's like that's you're maximizing your fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But if it's like you get just as much time and you get limited time with both men, if you pick both, I think that that's only fair.
Okay. All right.
Isn't a free for all. Okay.
Yeah. What is this? This is not a free for all. Yeah. All right. So we're going to see Whitney's date with Steven and they're going to go roller skating.
Yeah.
Is this rich date or poor date?
I've never been proper roller skating.
Yeah.
Like, I've been rollerblading.
Yeah.
Which is different.
Yeah.
But
similar idea.
Yeah. But I've never been like in a roller skate, rink indoors. It looks really fun. It looks like a fun little mm-hmm. thing to do. I don't know how much it costs. I have to think that it's probably not that expensive.
I think it's pretty cheap. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like going like mini putting. Like, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Like, I feel like it's like, it's a pretty cheap date.
Yeah.
So, and there was no one there, but maybe they had to rent out the whole rink.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that costs money.
It costs money for production. Yeah.
But I do feel like they didn't even eat anything, did they?
No.
I don't think
no
we saw
spaghetti,
them have a meal.
No meatballs here. Yeah.
It was a morning date. So
no lunch.
They don't get a meal included, I guess.
Okay. So they're going to roller skate and Whitney, you know, Steven's a country guy, but, you know, he has money so they could travel and she doesn't really care about living in the country so much because it's more about the people you get to know.
Yeah. So she's basically saying like, I could probably live anywhere. It's like more about the people that I'm around mm-hmm. and stuff, but, but she's talking a lot about traveling during this conversation. And I thought this was very interesting, where we got a clip of Whitney saying, if Steven is a millionaire, it will work out with her lifestyle because she wants to travel a lot.
Yeah, she's ready to be traveling. And as we know from last time out, Steven's mom is like, okay, so when are you ready to get domesticated?
Mm-hmm. Take those shoes off and get into the kitchen, lady.
Right. Right. Yeah. And that doesn't seem to be something that Whitney is too excited to do. She's like, I don't really want to get married right now. I'm only 25.
Yeah, which is completely reasonable. This is the other thing that, I mean, again, people are different, but like watching these 25-year-olds be like, you know, like, yeah, I'm ready to like settle down and like, I'm like, no, like go and travel, do all those things, do whatever you want. Like you don't marry this guy you met on a reality TV show. That's a poor life choice at 25. Go do fun things. You're going to feel very differently in a few years. But again, this was interesting because this is the turning point for Steven, because he basically says like in a confessional that he wants to plant roots and start a family. So, and like I expected, Mama McBee has influence on Steven. Mm-hmm. She wants to know when they can get domesticated. And I think that's ultimately Steven wants that too.
Yeah. Remember.
Question I have is, what do you think about the home, about being domesticated?
Yeah.
Well, you know, Steven is got a little bit of like a Goldilocks syndrome going on. Cause here is like Whitney, and he's like, oh, she doesn't want to get married. She's too wild. Then Amber, oh, she's too serious. Can't have her. I need somebody who's more fun.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing is like, I think that, Steven wants a little bit of that lifestyle, but like,
he wants a little bit of that sass.
He wants a little bit of that sass, but he also wants, you know, 50 shades of hay.
50 shades of hay. Yeah.
So I think that even he's like a little bit conflicted because he wants, I mean, he really should have stuck with Brianna.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
'Cause she was country. She mm-hmm. would have fit right in at the McBee farm.
Mm-hmm.
And you try to tell me that girl's not fun.
She's very fun.
She was very fun.
Rolled over on a hot dog.
Yeah. She wasn't going to be expecting anything fancy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I think that, you know, missed opportunity. Yeah. But again.
So Steven is out on Whitney. Whitney feels like they had a great date.
This is the funniest part is that like Steven's on double duty on this day. And like he did great work. Like he was not spread too thin. He did an excellent job because this date did not go well.
No.
And it went excellent in Whitney's eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but I think that, I don't know. There's something to him that he's got like some sort of magic.
Or that it seems like the women are pretty convinced that Steven is the rich one.
Well, here's the thing. Like Whitney knows that, you know, both of them are interested in her.
Mm-hmm.
And the writing is on the wall with Kurt. Like, what are you doing trying to go after Kurt
mm-hmm.
at this point, unless you're Carolyn or Amanda? And even like for Amanda, she's like questioning whether this is worth her time. So if you have figured out that Steven is the millionaire and there's a pretty low chance that either of these men are going to pick you.
Yeah.
Isn't that just the right business decision?
Pick Kurt or pick Steven.
Yeah, just like go all in on Steven in case he's really not that interested in the women.
Maybe you get more airtime if you pick both guys.
Well, that's what I thought too. Mm-hmm. I was like, you know what? That's the move. You might get more date and you'll definitely get more mm-hmm. airtime.
Yeah.
So if you're not number one, like actually building a real connection with any of these guys, like the obvious decision is to pick both.
Mm-hmm. Pick both. That's
and
right.
Anyway, we'll get to it, but like squandering opportunities here, but
Who's squandering an opportunity? Us?
Whitney and Calla, I think. Mm-hmm. I don't think that they had a good opportunity to get two full dates.
Yeah.
Or shortened dates. And I don't think that they used them to their full potential. Oh,
they cut it off with Kurt, both of them, very quickly.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like, what are you doing? You didn't even finish your champagne.
Yeah. Well, maybe it's like, if I start hanging out with Kurt, then he's going to make out with me.
Mm. You think?
I don't know. I feel like that's how these dates go.
I think that's part of the problem is that like he's not expressing himself mm-hmm. physically enough with some of these women.
Because Caro's always around.
Well, that's the thing. And they finally get the one-on-one time.
Yeah.
Shouldn't he be like moving it in right away? It's like, oh my God, I haven't had a chance to kiss you. Like, because other people have been around.
Is that what, he did that on his last date with Whitney.
Yeah, but I don't know. He seemed kind of standoffish this time.
Look, I don't know what is going on over here.
I don't either. I'm just trying to figure it out.
Don't ask.
Yeah. Okay.
Listen, if you don't want me to ask, like, stop making this so confusing for me.
Sorry. All right. Kurt and Carolyn, they get on a boat. A rowboat.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I have to say, like, Kurt's energy and enthusiasm goes down when he's around Carolyn. Mm-hmm. Like, he just becomes just less bright. And then I took note of this. I was like, oh man, as soon as he's around Carolyn, his energy, his enthusiasm, like, plummets compared to, like, Amanda. And then he says right after this, I do like the person I am with Carolyn. I'm like,
yeah,
why? You seem like such a bummer.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you like that?
Yeah. Well, I don't know if it's really that he likes something about her.
Penis is blind.
Yeah.
I mean, his blind penis definitely likes who he is.
I guess so. Yeah. So Kurt, I think, got to the bottom a little bit more of what his issue is with Caro having the ex-husband and the kid, and that the ex-husband really, I think, limits where Stephen and Carolyn can live. I think this, I think we got a little more clarity on this.
Yes.
So the problem for Kurt is that he wants to live in Charlotte or wherever, and that Carolyn is tied to wherever she lives in California because that's where the ex-husband is and he shares custody.
Yeah. And this was, like, the first time that he really articulated more of a reason that made sense than just like, oh, I don't know about this ex being in her life. I do think that this is, like, a sensible, like, thing to be concerned about, yeah. Especially for Kurt, where it's like, I don't know, this guy is trying to build his empire. Mm-hmm. He's taking courses with Stephen in the gentleman's quarters. He might not necessarily want to stay in North Carolina. I think he just doesn't like the idea that, like, his life is going to be determined for him.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't have that freedom if he, you know, and, like, he has to just live with that. But mm-hmm. he tries bringing this up, and it's like the same problem happens where she's just like, well, like, why is it, like, you're just letting this, like, fear hold you mm-hmm. back?
Right.
She, like, shuts him down.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like that if you you're head over heels for somebody or you're not, like, I feel like that this whole, like, you're into Carolyn and it's like, all right, whatever it is, we'll figure it out. Or am I oversimplifying this?
I don't think so, but I think perhaps the wrinkle is you're in a, you know, manufactured situation where you have other options presented mm-hmm. to you and you're being made to, explore those other options. And so if he was truly, like, head over heels about Carolyn and he would be just like, okay, well, let's just figure that out. In normal life, maybe that's more likely, mm-hmm. but he's in a situation where he has other options and he's like, well, these other options don't limit me. Mm-hmm. So it maybe isn't that simple.
Yeah.
But,
like, what is the case for him taking Carolyn at this point? He seems completely content with Amanda. Mm-hmm. I don't understand. Like, what is the downside to Amanda?
I personally can't see it. Mm-hmm. For me, I mean, I've been Team Amanda from the start. Mm-hmm. And I think that there are only upsides. And I think that this whole freaking show has just been him trying to talk sense into himself.
Yeah.
And struggling with that.
Okay.
And I think that we deserve, as people who have gone through this entire show together, to watch Kurt finally end it with Carolyn at some point.
Yes. I hope maybe next week.
Maybe next week.
Yeah. What do you think, Jenny, based on where we're at right now, what is Kurt going to do? Because there's no way you're going to convince me that Steven is going to pick Calla over over Annie. Calla, no, who the longest of long shots, who I would have said last week has as good of a chance of Kurt picking her as Steven. And now all of a sudden, oh, is it going to be Annie or Calla? Get out of here.
Yeah. No, the Steven is completely
No drama, determined. No intrigue.
Yeah. Kurt is the interesting decision here, which who could have called this? But I honestly do think that he's going to pick Carolyn. I want him to pick Amanda, but I do think he's going to pick Carolyn. And I think that it's just like, in order for there to be like any compelling storyline, they've had to pepper in all of these like concerns and like build them up as like a storyline so that it's, you know what I mean? That there's some question of it, because it was her from the minute they met. But I would love to be surprised and have him actually pick the right person for him, which is Amanda.
Okay.
What do you think, Rob?
I think it's going to happen. Boy, I think he will pick Carolyn also.
Yeah.
It's wild. It's wild. Okay.
I just like, imagine how fun it, like what great television we would get if he dumps Carolyn
and picks Amanda.
Yeah.
It'd be great.
We deserve that.
Yeah. You'd love to see it.
I would love to see it. I mean, yeah. Listen, I'm sure Carolyn's a fine person and I don't want her to go through pain, but I want an entertaining finale of this television show. And
we
I think we've
been through enough. We've been through a lot.
We have.
Yeah,
we have. And we've stuck through it. We've gone through this whole journey together. And I think that's the least they could do is have Kurt pick Amanda.
Yeah.
And break Carolyn's heart. Come on. Okay.
There's another date going on. Steven is going to be on a date with Calla. Yeah. And
part two.
They're going to, for the evening. And this dinner is going to be such a romantic dinner in a corn maze.
More effing hay.
Yeah, and
what
corn.
He really said 50 shades of hay. 50 dates of hay.
Right.
Like, this is what is romantic about? I've never been to a corn maze. I don't know. Is is that romantic?
No, not romantic. I wouldn't think.
Scary, maybe.
Scary, certainly. Yeah. I mean,
we found out Steven's kink here, actually. He likes to be scared. He likes to be a little bit of danger.
A little bit of danger. Maybe he's a very big fan of the movie Field of Dreams. Where it's like, I want to be in the cornfield for this day.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And then I have the dead baseball players and a band come out of the corn.
Can the dead baseball players be the band?
And then you know what they say. If you build it.
Don't ask.
Don't ask. Set the mood.
God.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. This man's definition of romance is setting a table in hay.
Hey, right. I feel like there's like a lot of like rats in the corn maze and all sorts of stuff.
All sorts of critters, yeah.
Critters, well, yeah.
I mean, he's probably looking for more animals to adopt.
Oh, yeah. That's like, yeah, this is how I found my raccoon.
Yeah.
Yeah, set up a table in the corn maze. That's how where they like to hang out.
I find whatever food they like and I just put it on the table. They come crawling out.
Yeah. The raccoon.
Right. Oh, my God. Well, the raccoon has like opposable thumbs, so the raccoon could pick up the noodle.
And they love like old spaghetti.
Yeah, that's hitting the jackpot for the raccoon.
Yeah. Well, we've got a big surprise for you, Calla, because come into the other room of the corn maze, because Calla seems to be the world's biggest fan of Easton Corbin.
I have four question marks typed after Easton Corbin in my notes.
Easton Corbin.
Don't ask.
Yeah.
I guess I will not ask.
Yeah.
That is a nightmare to me as well. I hate when they do this.
What's that? When it's like, oh, here's a person.
Here's a private concert. Awkward. I don't want a slow dance.
Calla loved it.
Of course she did.
Mm-hmm.
They were slow dancing in hay,
mm-hmm.
which looked incredibly awkward because they were like tripping over the hay.
Yeah.
And I just like, The Bachelor does this sometimes where they have like, oh, it's a surprise private concert with like this person who's just sitting there playing a guitar.
Chase
for us.
Rice.
And I'm like, I don't know. I just, I don't, that is a very uncomfortable situation for me. They're just playing their music and we're the only ones here and we're dancing to it. I don't know.
Yeah.
Doesn't that sound terrible to you, Rob?
Would not be my ideal date. But yeah, Easton Corbin, Calla says, oh my God, Easton Corbin. Did they feed her the line?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. I mean, okay. I'm not in the country scene. I hate country music. I don't know who Easton Corbin is. It's not for me.
Yeah.
I let everyone enjoy what you like.
Don't
That's
yuck
fine.
Anybody's
I
yum.
I will never yuck your yum.
Unless they're Lady in the Tramping.
Yeah, that I will yuck. Mm-hmm. It's not for me. So I don't know if this is like very obvious. But also like, do you walk into the like a part of the corn maze and just see two like white men in cowboy hats and immediately know what country singers they are? I don't think you do. Mm-hmm. Do you?
I wouldn't think so. He doesn't have like a very like specifically recognizable look.
A lot of these men look the same.
Easton Corbin is the 2010 American Country Awards New Breakthrough Artist of the Year.
2010?
Yeah. That's right.
So he's not new anymore.
I mean, that was my
12 years ago.
Yeah. That was my breakthrough podcaster of the year award in 2010 also.
You're not new. You're later days. Easton Corbin is the later days country artist.
How dare you? So Easton Corbin. You want to hear a little snippet of it? So this is from his social media. Easton Corbin said, did you catch our first performance of Marry That Girl on Joe Mill Fox tonight?
I'm going to marry that girl. I'm going to marry that girl.
Do you think that Steven was like, probably not her. Let's see if...
I thought that was, again, so awkward where it's like, I mean, you've had like two dates with this woman. You're definitely not marrying this girl.
Right.
This is not the right song.
Right. Like, she's probably going home tonight. Like,
couldn't they have switched that around? Like, Calla could have gone in the hot air balloon. Annie could have gotten this song.
Mm, yeah, that's true.
Those dates were basically identical anyway. Yeah. They were just dinner in hay.
Yeah. So. Could you imagine that this was the date with Whitney and Corbin, Easton Corbin starts singing Marry That Girl? She would have been like running for the hills.
Yeah. And I feel like at this point, like the women that I relate to most are Amanda and Whitney. And I feel like, I do think that would have been Whitney's reaction being like, I'm going to go find Kurt, even though I am like third on his list.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
At least I don't have to be subjected to this.
Yeah. I'm out of here. Back at the manor. Okay. Kurt and Carolyn say, hey, let's go skinny dipping. I said, okay. All right. Here we go.
Mm-hmm.
But is this skinny dipping?
No.
Yeah.
Because Carolyn's butt was blurred, but it was like a Survivor blur where it was like, you know, it was like her bathing suit was maybe just like a slim cut. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like a little
sometimes
bit of fabric.
I think they just do that. Like, what's going on there?
I could literally see there was a clip of her from the front where you could see she's wearing a full bathing suit or her like underwear, mm-hmm. perhaps.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They were not, that is not skinny dipping.
Yeah,
I think you have to be naked, right?
I think that's the definition. Should Kurt have left his jeans on?
This is a horrible first impression for me. I should have kept my jeans on.
Maybe Kurt doesn't need to keep his jeans on.
Yeah, maybe it wasn't as
maybe
cold
that's
that
a
night.
Steven only thing.
Yeah. Okay. So they go in the hot tub and Kurt is saying, I'm falling in love with you.
So no, she said it to him
in
Spanish.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And so he had no idea what she was saying. Mm-hmm. And then,
is that a trick? Is that she says it in Spanish and he's like, yes, yes.
And then he has to like repeat it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So possibly a trick.
That's how she got him.
Again, this is just so toxic because like that. So when they were in the boat and like they're trying to have this conversation and Kurt is feeling like she's kind of shutting down his concerns. And then they just go like, let's just have some fun. No more serious stuff. I'm like, okay, well, I don't feel like you made any progress on the serious stuff. And I feel like it's perhaps kind of important stuff to figure out.
Yeah.
And then they just like, I think that all that happened was they had a couple of drinks and they're very physically attracted to each mm-hmm. other. And so now they're having fun again, AKA not actually thinking about any of the functional parts of them being like in a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
But I just think that like this screams toxic to me. Like, you are just physically attracted to each other. You want it to make sense. It doesn't. So when you realize it doesn't, you're just like, let's just have fun. Mm-hmm. Like, no more serious stuff. It's mm-hmm. like, I don't know. I just feel like, again, this is where I work through my trauma is on this podcast, Rob. I just feel like I have been in relationships like this where it's like there are core issues that need to be worked on.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not in a place to actually work on those things, you just distract yourself with the other things in the mm-hmm. relationship that are fun.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, not a sustainable model.
Work.
No.
Yeah. Okay.
So just a little tip from Jenny Hundredair over here.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's good to know. That's good life advice. You're like Martin the Butler.
I like to liken myself to him, you know,
mm-hmm.
quite a compliment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's why you are such a fan of his.
Yeah. I relate to mm-hmm. him.
Yeah. Okay. We have then some more dates coming up. Okay. So Kurt.
So many dates.
And Steven talk. Steven is not feeling good about Whitney. Okay.
Yeah.
But don't worry. We have more dates to come. Steven is going to go out on a date with Amber. And now Kurt. He's going to have the chance to spend time with Calla.
Yeah. So now Kurt's mm-hmm. getting the double duty.
Yeah. And so Kurt, he gets in the back of like a truck with Calla.
This is more of a Steven date.
Yeah. A little bit more of a Steven date. And Calla immediately friend zones him.
Yeah. This mm-hmm. is, and this is again, I'm just like, I mean, I guess Calla's just being a good person, but I'm like, you know, at least she didn't leave the date after she friend zoned it. It seemed like maybe they just still hung out and stayed for whatever the scheduled amount of time of the date was. But I mean, maximize your time. Yeah. Like, who knows how many glasses of champagne you might get? Like,
free booze. It's a good point.
Like, maybe like ease into the conversation. But again, she's just trying to get it over with. Yeah. So
now, Jenny, is it possible that Calla is under the impression that she actually is engaged to Steven now after this date?
I'm going to marry that girl. I'm going to marry that girl.
Like, I mean, there's an interpretation where this was a proposal, right?
Okay. So you think that like Easton Corbin, you know, like married them?
If not a proposal, maybe. Jenny, come on. Don't be ridiculous. He's not some ordained minister. He can't
I don't know
marry
his life.
Them.
I don't know, Mr. Corbin.
Was this like some sort of like promise ring in Calla's mind from Steven? Like, hey, Easton, play Marry That Girl.
Yeah, like, why would you get them to play that song if you're not going to, like, hold up your end of the deal? That's pretty messed up.
Well, also, interpretation that they did not go over with Steven what song, which one of Easton Corbin's hits they were going to play. No.
I mean, apparently it's a new song. That was the first performance of it.
Yeah, Steven hadn't heard it.
That's what we learned on Twitter. That was the first performance of Marry That Girl. That was how they broke that out. And Steven's like, oh, geez.
Yeah.
Couldn't you have played one of the other ones I knew?
Yeah. I'm trying to look at Easton Corbin's other singles. A little more country than that.
I thought you were going to say a little bit of that sass.
A little bit of that sass. Yeah. He's got one, A Girl Like You. That probably would have been good.
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, if it has no promises of marriage, I think that anything's better.
Yeah. Okay. He has a song
called... I don't know these songs.
Don't Ask Me About a Woman.
Don't ask.
Don't ask.
Me About a Woman.
Me About a Woman.
Yeah. All right. Maybe we have some Easton Corbin fans out there that could tell us about there would have been a better song. All right.
Yeah. Well, what the right choice was for Kala.
All right. Let's talk about Steven and Amber. They have a weird date also, who they are horseback riding and then they like ride the horses to someplace where they having like, it's like tea time.
It was like a picnic table in the middle of the bush. Mm-hmm. It was very confusing. And like this was like Steven's attempt to get like a really fun date where it's like, I'm gonna get Amber's fun side. We're riding
going to
horses,
a tea party. Yeah.
Going to the tea party in the bush.
I feel like they did Amber so dirty here.
Mm-hmm.
They really, really did. Where it was like, you know, Steven was like, I just feel like me and Amber have this great connection. And then all of a sudden, in the course of one afternoon, they made it seem like, oh, my God, Amber just goes on and on and on. And then he's like, I got to dump her. That's it. Well, she's no
here's
fun.
The thing.
Too serious.
So, I do feel like they have been sort of like forecasting this, where there's been like little glimmers of Steven being concerned that like he's trying to see the more fun side of Amber. Because I thought that she was going to get dumped at the family visit.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was talking about being concerned about it at that point. But like, I don't think that anything, it didn't seem like she was being like a stick in the mud or being like extremely like, this is like, all of my traumatic experiences, mm-hmm. like in great detail, and the montage of like him, like it's getting dark and she's talking and he's just like drinking the champagne, like just trying to get through the conversation. Like I felt bad for her because this conversation or whatever was happening between them could have been edited differently and been like the greatest date ever on The Bachelor.
For sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think that when he kind of like articulates to her that he's concerned that maybe they're more of just really deep friends and that the conversation always like moves to deep conversation, she's like, I thought that in those moments you wanted deep conversation. And I mean, she's just following the blueprint of like all of these other dating shows where it's like, okay, so when you get the one-on-one date, you have to bring up your trauma.
Mm-hmm.
You have to outline, you know, why your walls are out. Like you have to get through all of the serious conversation within like your first date with this person. She was just following the blueprint. Yeah. I don't think this is her fault.
Right. On Twitter, Amber has posted, she responded to somebody's comment at Megan Jean said, LOL, they made it look like a montage of you talking for hours and hours. The moon even moved through the sky. Amber said, LOL, that part irritated me. It was a reciprocated combo. I did not sit there and talk for hours crying emoji.
Yeah. And I mean, that tracks to me.
Yeah. Even Stephen underscore McBee said, LOL, that was over the top laughing, crying emoji. Okay. I can vouch for you on that. Was a normal conversation.
Okay. Well, what a gentleman.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. At least not throwing her to the wolves on that one.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, he did throw her to the wolves, but...
there might have been wolves there might in have that been bush.
Wolves. There might have been wolves just, waiting to go.
She just, like, walks into the darkness. She's like, I'm just gonna go. It's like, where are you going?
But it must have been such a, like, out of nowhere, like, out of left field, in from the corn maze, and it was like, she's, like, opening her heart up to him, and he's like... Yeah, this isn't working. So
yeah,
that's it.
Such a bad time to get. Let's just like when...
let's just be friends forever.
Yeah, yeah. That very invalidating.
Mm-hmm.
Like he could have just waited and like I don't know,
mm-hmm.
texted her tomorrow or mm-hmm. something.
Yeah, there was like no ceremony or anything. It was just like yeah. You have to go.
Was there supposed to be a ceremony, though? This is what I'm...
How do you get rid of people without Martin, Jenny? That's what I want to know.
And they're not even living at the mansion. So would they bring them from their hotels back to the mansion to have like a proper...
They
like,
needed
is that what
Martin.
Was supposed to happen?
Yes. He was supposed to come out and say, Amber, for richer or poorer, the gentleman would not like to see you anymore. They would not like any more of this sass.
For a second, I thought you were doing the Rob Mariano accent for Amber.
Amber, you're too serious. I need somebody who's going to be a little bit more fun. I need somebody to Lady and the Tramp with me when I make macaroni.
I got everything I needed out of this podcast. Mm-hmm. That's all I needed. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for your service.
Hey. I'm talking about where I want to take you next to the hay. 50 Shades.
I'll take care of you. Take care of me.
Yeah, in the hay. Okay. All right. So, yeah, Amber's like, all right, I don't want to be recorded anymore.
Yeah.
I didn't know you could say that.
Well, you can say it, but mm-hmm. they will also use that on the show because there's nothing that reality TV producers love more than when someone is getting so frustrated with the process. They're so overtaken with emotion that they're like, I can't record right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're always going to include that.
Yeah. Take it off. And Steven said, you could see the pain behind her eyes.
I mean,
mm-hmm.
I mean, guess.
Understandable. I mean, usually like, yeah, when somebody like opens up to you about, you know, a bunch of serious things and then you dump them right after that.
And yeah. they said, maybe we're just deep friends. Like, deep friends. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Do you think that they talk all the time?
You think that they became, yeah, because he's like, well, perhaps we can just like,
yeah.
you know, be, we'll just be in each other's lives and be there for each other.
Yeah.
It's like. What are you, I'm just going to be a text away while you, like, you know, confide right. in me about your relationship mm-hmm. with Annie?
Right.
Like, what the hell?
Hey, Amber, just want to text you. Raccoony is not doing so good.
What?
Bubbles,
no, not
Bubbles.
Bubbles.
That's Bubbles?
I think Raccoon? It's Bubbles. Yeah.
Bubbles has been acting weird lately. What do you think? I don't know what to do. Should I take him to the vet or do you think that just wait and see?
He's going to be all right.
Yeah. What do you think? Okay.
He doesn't clasp his little raccoon hands the same anymore.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He just can't even hold a strand of spaghetti.
We haven't Lady and the Tramped in weeks.
Mm-hmm. All right. How about Kurt's date with Calla?
Didn't it end?
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah. Kurt, I'm sorry. They must have cut that.
But that's the thing is, like, she's like, oh, they like there. Cheers yeah. and like, yeah. cheers to friends.
Yes.
And, but here's the
it's
thing.
It's always fun, so, never awkward, they said.
Yeah. And Calla said, like, you know, after last night, she's feeling like strongly about Steven. But then she also says, I think you have stronger connections with other women. Completely reasonable, like, assessment to make
mm-hmm.
And judgment. If you're Calla and you're like, Steven's showing me a little bit more yeah. You know, attention, and you have your hands full.
Okay. Jenny, I have to say I made a mistake. I wrote Calla in my notes. I should have wrote Whitney. Kurt has a date with Whitney.
Okay.
With Whitney. Okay. Sorry, everybody. Usually I don't make any mistakes on this podcast, but even I,
it's a very professional podcast.
It's a very professional podcast. Okay. Yeah. So we have where Whitney, Kurt goes on a date with Whitney, and Whitney, she just comes right out, rips a band-aid right off Kurt.
Again, this is like what I feel like was the most misplayed of the dates, where, and I mean, it really came back to bite her in the ass, because like had just sat down. We just found out that they've got fondue. I don't even think Kurt had even dipped a piece of bread into the fondue before. What do you dip in fondue? Is it bread?
Was it cheese fondue?
Cheese fondue, yeah. I think it was
not for me. Like a, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, but he's not even like going into the pot. And she's just like, yeah, anyway, I'm really feeling
she's like, yeah, this
more.
Isn't working for me. Yeah. I'm going to get out of here. me and Steven really hit it off. So
she was very honest, though. She was like, I feel like, you know, he showed me like physical attention and like made me feel. And she's like, I feel like you're disconnected. And he's like, oh, OK.
What changed with Kurt? Like, OK, great. You feel that way about Steven. Why did you pick both guys?
Well, they had to pick before they went on the date. And that's what I'm saying. Steven did a great job by making two women that were keeping their options open go, that they were third and fourth on his list, perhaps maybe second and third. And he completely like sold them on him. Like, he was on double duty and he hit it out of the park. He was getting women interested in him that he didn't even want interested in him anymore.
Yeah.
Like, that's how good this man is. Yep. I don't get it.
Yeah.
But that's the power of 50 Shades of Hay.
Power of 50 Shades of Hay. Yeah. I mean, that's why he needed all that spaghetti. He was like carbo loading for all these dates he had to go on.
He needed the stamina.
How's your stamina?
Can you handle this many dates?
Yeah. I know you win the race every time, but yeah, we're going to need you to run. And he said it doesn't matter how many times.
Yeah.
But yeah. That's why he was the perfect guy for this, because he said that he is going to be like he'll go like four or five
he'll
times.
Bounce back.
Yeah. He bounces back very quickly.
Yeah. He was bred for this.
Bred for this. Okay. With the fondue also.
Yeah.
Jenny.
For this fondue.
Yeah. So Whitney's like, all right. Yeah. Kurt, I'll see you later. All right. So,
she walks. We will get to this, but I noticed immediately that she walks off holding a bottle of champagne. Did she take the champagne off the table from her date with Kurt? Did she say, I'm dumping you? Martin
said, Victor goes the spoils.
Like Martin said, it's all in the women's hands now. And you know what else is in the women's hands? The champagne. I'm taking this.
Yes. Yes.
Because she walks back to she's carrying the champagne bottle the entire time.
She's off. She's off. Okay. So we're going to see then where the guys are going to call. Have a phone call.
And this is again, like, how is this fair? They're getting to conspire together, whereas the women couldn't be like, by the way.
Hey, they have to make decisions together of who goes home. Remember when they look at the ugly paintings?
Yeah. But they don't even do that anymore.
They don't do that anymore. Yeah. All right. So, Kurt, call Steven. Hey, guess what? Got friend zoned again.
Rough day.
Yeah.
Rough day
at the office. Okay.
Yeah.
And so Steven feels like, okay, we have to have a conversation with Whitney.
Yeah. Cause Whitney was leaving the date. So she pieces out from the date with Kurt immediately.
She's coming your way.
Yeah. It was like, mayday, mayday. She's incoming. Yeah. Incoming Whitney. She's armed with champagne. She's looking to roll around in the hay.
And so Whitney comes back to the house and Steven just dumps her on the spot.
Yeah, he shows up at the house, calls her out. She walks out again, holding the bottle of champagne in her hand.
Yep, yep.
She got that thing on her at all times.
Right.
And he's just like,
what Brianna would have wanted.
Truly. And he's just like, yeah, so really not feeling this.
Yeah. And that's it.
Like, imagine how stupid you feel if you're Whitney. You're just like, I just turned down a whole date. There was food there. I mean, she did take the champagne, but I had to think that there was probably more that she could have gotten out of this date just to get dumped by the guy that she just dumped him for. It was beautiful. It was great.
And so I thought she took it pretty well.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
she walked to the car again, still holding the bottle of champagne, gets into the car and starts drinking out of the bottle. I think the car was parked. It was probably legal.
Look, she's the fun one, Whitney.
Yeah.
Steven, you wanted fun, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just a little too much. That was like the Goldilocks problem. Like you said, Rob, just too fun.
Yeah, but she's getting a little long in the tooth. 25 and doesn't want to get married. What's she doing with her life? Yeah, exactly. Not ready to get domesticated. Then there's no place for you here at the manor.
Yeah. Away with you.
So did you get a sense of what Stephen and Kurt were eating?
Okay. So I definitely know what Steven was eating. Yes. He was eating a waffle. It was like a big waffle.
Giant waffle.
Not like a freezer waffle, like a waffle
made. Like he made waffles. Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't know. There was like some sort of like raspberry like compote on it or something.
Yes.
Perhaps.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was definitely like a sweet waffle. And then he said that he made something or he got something for Kurt when Kurt returned from being dumped. And there was a glass of milk.
Yes.
And I think it was like some sort of like cookie, but it looked so weird.
Yeah. Either he like baked like a sort of like a blondie type bar.
Like a cookie bar.
Like what the hell is going, on here?
I don't know. They love their late night sweets, I guess. There.
I guess so.
This is the full glass of milk. This is like their nightly routine where they like eat a waffle.
I put out the snacks for you.
Yeah. Don't worry. I dumped her for us, bro. Like she dumps you.
Yeah,
I dump
her. Relationship of like we're dumping the same women. Then we are eating our sweets
together at night. Our midnight waffles and cookie bar. Yeah, because it was not a circular, but it did look cookie like. There was like some sort of chocolate chip. It looked kind of gross, to be honest.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it was like some sort of like protein cookie. Yeah.
Yeah. Who knows?
Okay. So Martin's gonna come in. And now it's down to the wire. There's only four women left.
Yeah. And Martin's like, look at you guys.
Yeah.
Eliminating people without me. What the hell? Mm-hmm. What am I here for?
Yeah, what am I even here for?
Yeah. He's like, you're off. The women aren't even in the manor anymore. You guys are off gallivanting, getting dumped, dumping people. And did you save me one of these weird cookie things?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so I guess the next day is going to be the last day of Joe Millionaire, where Martin says that you're going to have to let a woman that you care about down and tell your lady what you have and what you don't have.
Is that innuendo?
I don't know. I don't know. And who's it for? I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
they tease a big finale next week on Joe Millionaire. I thought that this was interesting. This is coming from next week's episode, Jenny.
And we literally have one Joe Millionaire and one average Joe.
Yeah.
I'm familiar with this show as well.
Yes. Are the hunks coming next week, do you think?
God, I hope so.
One average Joe.
They're coming in. They're coming in to snipe your girl.
Yes. What a twist that would be.
That would be great.
Yeah. If the hunks came. But yeah, I mean, kind of like an open and shut case for Steven. Some yeah. intrigue of Kurt, but he's not even the rich one.
You're so you are as bad as they've made these women out to be. You're really focused on the money.
I am, because why? What the hell is he here for? Like,
here's the thing: it's the branding of the show is confusing, because ultimately, this show is not about which one has money and which one doesn't. It is about having a dating show with two male leads dating the same women at the same time.
And it didn't work.
And there was basically no competition. There was very little drama between the women. It was pretty, one of them basically decided who they liked from the first day.
Yeah.
But I don't think the storyline of who had money and who didn't really ended up playing a role at all.
We don't know.
Like, do you think that Kurt picks Carolyn and then she gets the reveal that he doesn't have money?
No, Carolyn doesn't care. Amanda doesn't care. She has her own money. Like, if Annie picked Steven and it was like, he's poor, like, do you think she would change her mind?
Annie?
Yeah.
Well, they did. So here's the thing is, like, I feel like earlier in the season, there was like some sort of sound clip of someone being like, I think that Annie's like really focused on who the millionaire is, which I think is interesting. Like, why would they have included that? I don't know. They also kind of did that with Carolyn, but maybe that was just like to try and build up her as like the villain of the house. But you really think for sure that Carolyn is like, it doesn't matter?
I don't think it matters. Because
the money thing has not been brought up in
the
episodes.
Okay. Could Kurt pick Carolyn? Carolyn finds out. Kurt, not the millionaire. She's like, what? I thought you were the millionaire. All right, that's it. This isn't working for me.
I mean, that would be epic television.
Yeah.
Like,
Kurt's like, Amanda, you still there?
Yeah, no, that would be poetic justice for me, though, because that would just be like, yeah, you idiot. You saw the writing on the wall with Carolyn that relationship wasn't good for you. And you went all in on it and
it
blew up in your face and you squandered your opportunity with Amanda, who has money. You could have gotten the woman and the money and now you have nothing. What do you say for yourself?
Yeah. Idiot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be great. I would love that ending.
That would be great. Great ending to Joe Millionaire. What will happen with Martin?
I don't know. What's his role? I mean, they showed like a
will he go work for Steven?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Is like, why not? Can you imagine Martin on the farm? They really missed the opportunity of bringing Martin along. Yeah,
he could be like raking the hay.
Yeah, he can take care of Bubbles. The
your spaghetti
raccoon.
And meatballs, sir.
Yeah,
he could be feeding the raccoon. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Be great.
Yeah. All right.
So I hope he's employed after this.
Jenny, anything else about this Joe Millionaire?
No, I think we got it. There was one other cringe quote. When Steven told Cal again, he's really selling Cal a bill of goods that I don't know if he's like committed to. This country boy has fallen head over boots.
Yeah.
Oh, stop this.
My writers are working overtime.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. Yeah. Every week of this Joe Millionaire, quote unquote,
Thorny
recap podcast.
Yes.
We have
somewhat of a recap.
Checked in with what the people are saying on Apple Podcasts, where they love the Joe Millionaire recap.
And we love them for it.
Some would say we have a lot of Jomentum.
I feel like the Jomentum has
the Jomentum is real.
Steadily, steadily grown.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
The Millie gang has stamina, I will say.
They have stamina. Yeah.
They have stamina.
Okay. This is from 6510C. It says, love Joe M recap. Rob is hilarious, and the recap of this dumb show is so good. Love Rob. Love Rob's co-host, and I love avocados. Please don't stop.
We love avocados.
Yes. Okay. This is from Stevens Chewed Food.
Says, I love that people are making accounts for Apple Podcasts and using like lore of Joe Millionaire. Like that's beautiful to me.
Stevens Chewed Food said, Julie Chen Milligang, what's harder, being the fake Joe Millionaire or playing Big Brother? Avocado emoji.
Oh boy. Okay. What? Well, you have to say playing Big Brother. That's the answer.
Okay, how about this
one? I don't think it's been that hard for Kurt being the fake millionaire.
No, it was very easy, other than when he wanted to quit from Carolyn beginning to be mad.
Oh, I like two women and they both like me. My life is hard.
Yeah. MD Gromlich says, what's my favorite part about RHAP? They say,
don't ask.
It might be that he spoon feeds me the most relevant reality shows show Goss, like I'm an 11-year-old waiting for the school bus. It might be that he gives me the sass that I am missing in my life, or it might be the way that he does it all in a way that's oddly comforting, like wearing jeans in a cold pool. Whatever you're looking for, RHAP has it. As they say in my country, in my house, I stan RHAP.
Yes.
Great review.
That's excellent.
Nandaran said, I stopped watching the show after episode 2, but drop everything when I see a new episode of Joe Millie in my podcast feed. Rob and Jenny are the best at podcasting, the worst.
That's like the best at the worst. Mm-hmm. A good tagline.
Mm-hmm. Okay. A couple more. Dana says, is tractor blind. Says, like Jenny, I am also domesticated for this podcast. Okay.
Yes.
Yes. And then also we have Penelope Cruz. Penelope Cruz.
Wow.
Medium listener and newish patron. All RHAP content are basically one of the only pods I listen to anymore. I implore you to keep the Joe Millionaire podcast. Jenny is a treasure. You're a treasure. And I have zero intention of watching this show, but I need to hear it through your eyes, ears, until the end. Please, please, please.
Listen, we're almost there. We've done it.
We're almost there. 1 week to go, baby.
You're a treasure, Penelope Cruz.
Yeah. All right. Jenny, let me look. The private chat message from Sam. What is he saying?
That's old. That was when we were talking about Katie's.
Okay. Yes. The Katie's profile.
You didn't actually order the cameo, right?
No, I didn't. Okay. I didn't. But I will, like, Jenny, let's see, like, if any Joe Millionaire people are listening to this podcast, I will order Jenny a Joe Millionaire podcast cameo.
Yeah.
You will cameo. Get it.
Yeah, especially if you're Martin the Butler.
Mm-hmm.
But also, like, if you were on more than, like, 2 episodes of Joe Millionaire,
we'll probably
order it.
Okay. All right. So next week, we will recap this. We'll be back on Friday next week, Survivor, a little show. For those of you who are regular listeners to the Joe Millionaire podcast, we also podcast about Survivor on Robin's podcast.
Silly little show.
A little show known as Survivor. So unfortunately, because of Survivor podcasting commitments, we have to record Joe Millionaire on Friday next week.
Ugh.
Okay.
Really raining on our parade.
Sorry. Survivor. But we will have a great finale recap coming up next week.
We will bring a lot of the sass.
Mm-hmm. A lot of the sass. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So, and then also where we are also holding the door open for the unofficial Joe Millionaire, unofficial reunion show.
I mean,
let your favorite Joe Millionaire contestants know the offer is on the tape.
It's there. We're ready.
Mm-hmm.
We'll talk.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Would love it.
Yes. So,
what is this, a free for all?
Yes, it would be.
It would be.
Martin, Stephen, Kurt.
Bring the whole
women,
gang.
Katie. Yep.
Anyone.
You name it. Whatever you want to talk about. We don't even have to talk about Joe Millionaire.
Yeah, we can pretend it didn't happen. Just
Current events.
On your life.
Whatever. Yeah. Different show.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Winston Churchill. Yeah. Whoever.
Bring him in. I want the updates on him and Sarah Rose.
Yeah. Whatever. You want to talk about Kim K and Pete Davidson?
Yeah. I want their takes on that.
Yeah. Be great to get a full Joe Millionaire roundtable.
Yeah. That's what the people are clamoring for.
Mm-hmm. All right. Jenny, what's coming up for you?
Well, I mean, just preparing for the end of Joe Millionaire. This has been so fun. Like, honestly, like all jokes aside, like this has been incredibly fun for me, even though it's been really, really stupid.
Me too.
I've had a great time podcasting every week about this. I can't believe we started this on January 6th.
Yeah.
Like, what? Crazy. But yeah, so like you mentioned, Survivor is coming back mm-hmm. next week. And also Big Brother Canada started this week, Big Brother Canada 10. So I will, I'm sure, be popping up on some coverage for that. I'm very excited about the season. Very excited for the Survivor season. I have a Jenny on Survivor.
Yes.
Very excited about her.
I'm Jenny's really like, literally like shaking.
Yeah.
Literally like shaking her way to the end.
First Jenny since Jenny Guzon Bay?
I believe so. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. So I will be rooting
love
for her.
Love you, Guzon Bay.
Love you, Guzon Bay, and love you, new Jenny. Mm-hmm. So yeah, just really lot going on right now. But I'm very excited about what's to come.
Yeah.
And I will hopefully find something to fill the hole in my heart when Joe Millionaire ends. Yeah.
Okay. Well, look, if you've been holding out your ratings and reviews until the finale because you didn't believe we were going to finish the whole season, well, this is your last week. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
robisawebsite.com/subscribe. That brings up the links to go to Apple Podcasts. You could do it right on your phone. It doesn't cost you anything. Don't be so stingy with your stars.
Yeah. It's not like a Prime account. Like mm-hmm. you can use it multiple times. Mm-hmm. You can leave multiple reviews.
Unlimited stars you get. Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So you can go ahead and leave us all your avocados, whatever. Yep. Whatever. 50.
Maybe the spaghetti emoji is like a new thing. Mm-hmm. Like the spaghetti and meatballs emoji.
You want a lady in the tramp us? That's fine. Yeah. You know what I'm not looking forward to, Jenny?
What?
When after we end this call, when Sam Moore comes on and is like, really? An hour and 40 minutes on Joe Millionaire?
Like every single week.
Mm-hmm.
I said before we started this, I said, how long are we going tonight, Rob? And I said, every time I think it's not going to be that long. And for some reason, an hour 40 seems
that's
to be
that's how long
what
it takes to cover a Joe Millionaire episode. Yeah. Okay.
That's just that's what it is.
Yes. And yes, this podcast was longer than the 2-hour finale of The Amazing Race recap from earlier today. All right. It was.
Don't ask.
Okay. I can't explain it.
I don't know what it is, but it's just something that happens.
That's it. That's it.
All right.
All right.
That's
we'll
our
see
process
you for the finale when we find out. What will Kurt do? What will Steven do? Find out all next week on Joe Millionaire. Thank you so much for listening. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.